Sounds like.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I give a shit. I really do. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Today's going to be a really special day. I have a friend, an art colleague, someone I'm a art fan of, Eric Dorringer. And he brought in his entire summer SVA high school, well, would it pre-college,
pre-college
class. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But I just want to remind you that, you know, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, which is the best radio station in the Western Hemisphere. And you should download our app, you know, because if you download our app, you can have Radio Free Brooklyn all the time with you, right in your pocket. So it's go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/iPhone or radiofreebrooklyn.org/Android if you have one of those. I personally am an iPhone person. So anyway, just so you know, I have like these, I'm just going to tell you where my head's at before we get started, because I'm a little like, I'm a little freaked out, okay? I've got six teenagers out. I'm staring at six. Only two, besides Eric, the teacher, are allowed in this studio at one time. Do you hear me, Tom? Because I know you're probably pissed off already. I don't blame you. And they run the gamut of... they just run the gamut in like so many ways. Size, looks, personalities. I've known them for 10 minutes, but I can tell you they have a full range of personalities. The girls, as usual, are way more mature than the boys. And so, Eric, tell us what your class... I'm going to have introduce them, but Eric, give us the rundown on what the class is and where you are in the class.
Sure. So the class is part of the larger pre-college program at SVA, School of Visual Arts, here in New York City. So high school kids come here. If they're from New York City, they can commute from home. If they live somewhere else, they can stay in the dorms. And they could do painting or sculpture or graphic design or filmmaking or, you know, any of those things for 3 weeks. My class specifically is called Contemporary Art New York. And it's a mix of field trips where we go to art galleries, art museums.
So what have they seen? Just
studios.
Like they've been to the Met Brewer.
They've been to the Met Breuer. They've been to the Met Fifth Avenue. They've been to MoMA. We've seen a few contemporary galleries.
Where was the enthusiasm? Just give us one example.
Where was the enthusiasm? Well, I think you should ask the students about that. Actually,
all right. Did you put?
But you're the
host. You can't tell your audience. You read the audience. You're just focused on teaching, Eric.
That's right.
That's why you're a teacher and I'm not.
It's a one-way street as far as I'm concerned. I'm not letting it back in. I'm just sending that knowledge out.
Okay. All right.
I'm just kidding.
But you've taken them a lot of places.
But we've gone a lot of places, and we also work a lot in the studio. So they've been doing traditional drawing and painting.
They did life-size portraits.
They're doing life-size self-portraits right now. They've done photography.
They had a nude
model on Monday.
Yeah. Really? A woman? Female?
It was a woman. We'll have a gentleman coming next Monday.
How was that? Did they freak out like I did when I had my first nude modeling class in the same kind of program in Philadelphia?
I think it was probably an unusual experience for most of them. But again, that's something that we can talk about once we get them on the mic.
And also, things are really different because... in my day, we didn't see as many naked people as these guys.
That's right. I'm sure they all have pornography streaming through their phones.
Anyway, Eric,
24 hours a day.
I know you've really been enjoying. I know you've really been enjoying those classes summer. So let's just. What we're going to do is I'm going to get them all on the mic just to say hi to you, and then we're going to do a two and two. So come on in, guys. Introduce yourself. Okay, who's first? I'll tell you.
Hi, I'm Charlie. I'm a student here at SVA pre-college. I'm 15. I'm going to be going into my sophomore year next year, and I'm from New Jersey.
He's the guy with the black hat, and he wears sunglasses a lot. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Sophie Titel. I'm 16. I'm going into senior year, and I'm from Connecticut, and I'm a student at SVA pre-college.
She's very cute, very cute. Okay, here's the guy.
Okay, keep coming,
keep
guys.
Keep going. Okay, here's a guy. Here's a guy who. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm Akiva. I'm from New Jersey, and you can't see me right now, but I'm dripping in blood.
Oh, okay.
Akiva had a little accident on the way over here.
Yeah, yeah. Do we need to call 9? Let's not even joke. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, I am Manuel. I am in the program. I have 16. My next year is my sophomore year.
And where are you from, Manuel?
Colombia.
Okay.
Wow.
By Florida more recently, I believe.
He's getting some American culture here. Okay. And this one.
Hi, I'm Gabriela. I am 17. I'm also from Colombia, and I'm a student at pre-college.
She gets to stay in the dorms, right?
Yeah.
For 3 weeks while you're here?
Yeah,
I want to have I wish I had parents like that who would send me away for 3 weeks. That sounds awesome. Okay, so that's the lineup.
Wait, we got one more.
Oh, we got one more. Cindy.
Who may be shy and not speak
Cindy,
more.
Cindy, you know what? I identify with you because when I was your age, I was crazy shy. I would not say a word. I would not.
That's hard to believe now.
And I love that.
So go ahead and just tell us your name and where you're from here in this mic here.
Beautiful girl.
Hi, I'm Cindy. I'm from Queens. Not that it matters because I won't be talking.
And Cindy, you got to say a little bit more. How old are you? What grade are you going into?
I'm 16. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you, Cindy.
All right. So the first two of you are going to come back and sit down at the mic.
All right. Okay. So who we got here? We got
Charlie and Sophie.
Charlie and Sophie. Okay. So anyway.
So I had asked the class to come up with some questions for you, Lisa, because, you know, you typically on this show, you're asking all the questions.
Right.
And I thought it would be fun to switch things up a little bit and maybe put you in the hot seat a little bit. So maybe we'll start off with their questions for you and then you can ask them some questions back as more typical.
All right.
So when do you guys start with your question?
All right. I just kind of wanted to know, like, a little more about you, I guess, as, like, an artist and your career. Like, what would you say is the coolest or most memorable experience you've had as an artist?
Well, you know, I don't really separate experiences, art, life. But I think, you know, at this point in my life, in recent history, I would have to say the time that I sat naked on a toilet for 2 days when people came in and sat with me. The artist is humbly present. Did you see anything of that? Did Eric show you that?
Yeah, he showed us.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Is that something you think you might ever do?
I personally am not comfortable enough, like, with myself to do that, but I think that, like, it takes
Yeah.
It takes a lot of balls to do that. I think that, you know, it's definitely something that a lot of, you know, people could look up to, and it's really cool.
Let me tell you something else. As an old lady, because I'm 62, it was a lot easier to do that than as a young person, because you don't feel as vulnerable being naked when you're older. You know? It's true. That's the way it is. So, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, what was the, like, weirdest or most bizarre thing that anyone did over those 2 days?
There were a lot of things. A lot of people wound up taking off their clothes, too. And some guy came in that scared me, and he had, like, all this type, he almost had made his body into a poster. And he wrote it back, like, in mirror writing, and there was the word Taliban on it, and it totally scared me. I also had that woman who got some press lately because she brought a peacock on the plane.
Oh, right. It's her support animal.
Yes, as her support animal. So she came there, too. But I was a little nervous, and I would say that I had a great connection with... It was an incredibly rewarding experience, and I felt like I got a great connection with a lot of people. And I can't really say anything bad about what happened. There's nothing bad happened.
Yeah.
Okay, how about you, Charlie?
Okay, so
Charlie's you're gonna be a street artist, right? I got the feeling, right? You like street art? Did you see any street art here in Bushwick?
Oh yeah, there was a lot of really interesting art on the street here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So question wise, when I look at art and when like we're walking around galleries and everything like that, I typically wonder, you know, what inspired their art or what push their mind to think of these things and, you know, wanted to express it on canvas or whatever medium you're doing. So what would you say gives you your most inspiration?
That's an interesting question, Charlie. That's a very mature question. I'm kind of surprised. Yeah, I don't know these kids, but I am impressed. So anyway, he looks like a skater. Where did he come up with a question like that? He looks like a child. Skater, teenage boy. So the thing is curiosity. I believe that curiosity and novelty are the most important things to a creative person. And what I try to do is find activities where I get to see things that I don't normally get to see to open my mind. Like a couple weeks ago, I was thinking about how 2 weekends ago I went to this place out here called The Glove. Have you heard of it, Eric?
No.
It's a really like hard to find place, and it was run by this really weird group, great group, Wild Tours, and they had all these really strange, unusual performances, and the place was really unusual. And most people don't look into stuff like that and get to see it. So I just try and take advantage of as much as I can wherever I am. And, you know, just open mind. I don't have any particular one thing.
So you'd say, like, what inspires you most is the pursuit of more knowledge, I guess?
Novelty and experiences. Okay. And, you know, you can have a lot of really amazing experiences without, like, even going anywhere. Like, for example, like, I always think about, let's get back to the toilet sitting art performance. Now, I made that up. I got a gallerist to, you know, say okay to it. But I had a huge, huge experience. And it was in my neighborhood. I mean, it didn't cost me very much. I didn't go anywhere. You know, there's a lot of, and, you know, even the thing that I was talking about at the Glove, I think it was like $5, you know, and that was watching other people create interesting experiences. But, you know, you can have an exciting adventure anywhere.
But especially in New York.
Well, you know, sometimes I tell you, if I go to like little town upstate, I feel like I'm in Europe or like it's so different. You must notice that, right? Because you're from Columbia, right?
No, I'm from Connecticut.
Connecticut. Oh my God, I got you mixed up with the other girl.
It's okay.
It's the Columbia of New England. The
Gabriella. Oh Jesus! See, what do I see? I told you this was going to happen, Eric. It's
okay.
All right.
It's okay. It's right. I'm still learning their names too. But I think that's actually just a question. Like, how do you guys find New York City? I mean, you've been here for a couple weeks now. You've like visited before, I think. But how are you enjoying your time in the city?
I mean, I've grown up going into the city a lot, so like I am pretty familiar with it. But like, I think this has given me like a really good opportunity to like get to know the city a lot better and like from a different perspective of like, you know, getting to see really cool galleries and museums from like an artist's perspective rather than like being a tourist like with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's definitely been really cool.
So what kind of art do you like?
For me, I really like a lot of contemporary stuff. Like, I like sculptures also.
Like what? Is there any artist that you would name that you can think of? Or was there anything you saw this week that was interesting?
This week. Oh, we went to the Met Breuer yesterday. Yeah, was it yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We saw this sculpture that I forgot his name, but this artist made a sculpture of his own head out of his own blood, which we were.
Oh, yeah. 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 What's his name? Creed.
Mark Quinn.
Quinn. Mm-hmm. Not Martin Creed, Mark Quinn, of course.
Yeah. So after when we came back to the classroom, we were talking about it, and the idea of like turning like your own body like into like art is just like the idea of that is really cool. Mm-hmm.
So can you picture? Can you picture yourself growing up and making art like that, or art out of sculpture, or what do you picture? Are you going to be an accountant?
No.
What do you imagine for yourself?
Fantasy. In a dream perfect world, my dream job is to be like a photographer, like a travel photographer.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm really into photography. I did this program to kind of like open my mind and get better at like different skills, like painting.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, but like, you know, still be more comfortable and in my element, like taking pictures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
How about you, Charlie? What do you imagine yourself as a grown adult doing?
In a perfect world, I think I'd like to be a studio painter. So somewhere, you know, something that I can express myself on canvas and like not have any commissions or not have anyone telling me what to paint. So just being able to express myself and use my imagination.
And how are you going to make a living, Charlie? Your folks want to know. How are you going to make a living? Your parents are asking me right now. I can hear them in my own head.
In a dream world, hopefully just selling those paintings and getting them into galleries and museums and stuff like that. But I can imagine myself in a more realistic setting. I'd be doing commission paintings and I'd be doing murals. And I like working on a really big scale if possible.
Mm-hmm.
I like bold colors and hard lines and stuff
like
that.
And where, you're living in where?
I'm in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I live in New Jersey, but during this program, I have an apartment with my dad in Queens.
With your dad. So I have a suggestion for you. You know, there's a lot of art collectives out here that make these murals and do the street art. You should hook up with them and be and do a project with them.
Yeah,
help them out.
That'd be really interesting. Up to this point, I haven't done anything like murals or anything. Yeah, I'd really like to get started on that.
I bet they would help you out. I'll help you find a place for them. And so, Eric, what do you want to do when you grow up? I'm looking at Eric.
When I grow up, well, in an ideal world, I would like to just be a studio artist, too. But
Eric, did you think you were going to... I never wanted to be a studio artist. I was an art director. I was like, I want to make a living. I don't want to be starving. Did you, Eric, think you were going to be an artist?
Yes, I think from...
Because you're confident.
From certainly around... talented. You know, well, I didn't know if I would be successful as an artist, but I think that I wanted to pursue that dream, and I hoped that I would be a good artist and successful. And
Well, you went to Brown University, which is an Ivy League school. So what did you study there?
I studied art.
Art, yeah. Yeah, so that's a pretty good start.
I guess. I mean, it's probably a better start if I was going into law or medicine or, being a stockbroker.
Law and medicine are both really good careers.
They would have been better choices,
much better choices.
But
you could have probably done well.
I like my life as an artist, too. And, I don't have to eat at the fanciest restaurant every night.
Well, that's good to know, because you're not.
Because I'm
so
not.
So how about you guys? Are you getting support from your families, or you think like, oh, they don't think we're practical, or what do you think?
My family's always been really supportive of me. Like, they always, like, want me to just try my best and, like, do what, like, makes me happy. I think they'd be happy, seeing me.
They just want you to be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they would for sure support me.
They just want you to be happy.
Yeah.
But they don't want you to starve.
No.
So are you guys planning on going to college?
Yeah,
of course.
For sure.
And do you think you're going to get like master's degrees in art and stuff like that? Are you looking at
it that way?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes. So you think you'll... Have either of you had a job yet of any sort?
No, not
my stepson didn't either at your age. Jesus. Eric, you had a job.
I had a job.
Me too. What happened to these kids?
I'm going to be getting a job soon, hopefully.
Are you?
Yeah.
What kind of job?
Just whatever I can get my hands on just to make money. Yeah. I want to do it like next summer. I mean, I'm
next
still young.
Next summer.
So.
You are younger.
I'm going to college in a couple of years. So.
Yeah,
you guys are young. You guys are young. Okay, how about the next group?
Why don't we circulate here?
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
What lovely, attractive young people we have here, every single one of them. Thank you.
Okay, so next two kids, you guys want to come in and get settled down at the mic? Come on.
Hey, yo. Are they being shy?
Hey, or being Eva, Gabriella.
Come on in. All right.
Come on, guys.
Let's get let's get, okay, we got these two guys here. We got these two guys. All right.
Okay, so why don't you guys say we got these two guys names again into the microphone so the listeners at home know who they're listening to.
I'm a guy. Yes, I am.
This is Akiva. He's got a lot of hair. And a lot of, he's got a big necklace on, like a wrap. I don't know anything. I'm
like,
an old
like
person.
Like a wrap?
Wrap person? Where is the necklace? What's the inspiration?
I've been wanting a sort of chain that isn't like super thin. This is a bit thicker
You're in fashion. Charlie told me you guys had done some thrift shopping out here, right?
Yeah, I wasted... I used more money than I wanted to.
Okay, well...
I have some other stuff I want to get.
Yeah, what do you want to get?
There's a Bristol Studios collab with Adidas that I want to get. Mm. The white ones, if anybody
knows
about
ones.
That.
Oh.
Or they're off-white color.
Oh, does anybody at school have them?
No.
Where do you go to school?
I was going to school at a school in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. But I left that school... And now I'm going to go to a school in Hoboken called Hudson.
Oh, nice. Are you excited about that? This is the kid with a rebellious streak. There's just no question about it, right?
Yeah, I have a fake Rolex on, too.
And a rebellious... He's a rebel.
He made his own Rolex.
He would be a hard kid. I'm glad I'm not your mother. I think that would be a challenge.
So, Akiva, do you have a question for Dr. Lisa?
Yeah, so you've been in the advertising... industry a lot. So how has that changed that's what he told me, Eric.
Yes, no, I had just told everybody on the air that I didn't want to be an artist. I wanted to be I was an art director for 25 years in advertising. Yeah.
All right, so let me...
Get close to the mic and sit up straight. Sit up straight. What?
I dropped that out of my pocket.
Sit up straight and get close to the mic.
I'm not going to sit up straight, but I'll get closer.
See, I told you, he's such a rebel. Okay, so what were you going to ask me? Come on, we don't have a lot of time
here. All right, so how has that changed your perspective? And then I also had a bit of an...
Wait, hold on, how has what changed
your perspective? How's being an art director in advertising?
Let's let her start answering that one, then you can ask the follow-up question.
Yeah, the sort of connected.
Thank you, Eric.
So, Lisa, how has working in advertising changed your viewpoint?
Here's the thing. I did not... I studied illustration in college, so I did a lot of drawing and painting, but I really was worried about making a living. So I decided when I graduated, I mean, I just got a job in a graphic design studio, and then I eventually wound up getting a job as a junior art director in advertising. And, you know, did that to earn a living. And I did I supported myself fairly well. I went on a couple nice trips and shit like that.
Won awards?
I did. But the thing about advertising that I think is really, which I really, really value, is that creating advertising is all about, at least in my day, all about ideas. It's coming up with a good idea. An idea to sell thing. It's about combining visuals and headlines and making an idea happen. And it's also incredibly fast-paced and disciplined. So I think that the most important thing about being a professional creative person is being able to create when you are not in the mood. You know, before I worked in advertising, I used to think like, I'm not inspired today. When you work as a professional creative person anywhere, there is no I'm in the mood. It's like I have to keep this job and I need to make a living and I need to get this done. You know? Yeah. Eric's nodding because he knows what the deal is there. You know what the deal is.
I guess that would sort of make you a lot better at like really getting your work done once you became a regular artist, doing what you wanted to.
Absolutely. But you can do that. Anybody can learn that.
I think that you also really learned about how to distill your message, right? And like
I guess
make
so,
it
yeah.
succinctly and communicate
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I think the all industries need advertising.
Wait, I just want to say that we have Manuel.
Yeah.
Hi, Manuel.
Hi.
Just say where are you from?
Colombia.
But he lives in Florida.
But he lives in Florida. And what grade are you going in?
I go to start my sophomore year.
Sophomore year. Okay. So go ahead. What were you saying? Sorry. Get closer to the mic, too.
All industries need advertising for communicate the product for the people. Not advertising, you knocking out the product. This is impossible buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the most famous advertising is Coca-Cola. Everything can know.
Mm.
Or McDonald's. You only need the M and you say, oh, it's McDonald's. It's yellow and easy.
Right. Well, here's where creativity comes in, folks. Because that's all about budget, right? And I mean, like, you know, the more money you have, just like in politics, the more money you have behind your message, the more your message gets out, right? And that's where creativity comes in. Because if you don't have a big budget, you have to do something that's going to go viral or something that people are going to remember, right? Because if you can have a really small budget and make a lot happen if you have a great idea, right?
Can I ask question?
I didn't get to finish my question.
Okay.
Sorry.
So, like, the rest of the question, the more... Like,
more important part?
Yeah.
Okay,
the more important, the
go.
Part that isn't so specific to your experience and more specific to your opinions. How do you feel about the manipulation that the art and some of the most creative, most wild art out there is in the advertising, because they have these places you can go and all these interactive elements a lot of the time. But how do you feel about how advertisements, which is such a widespread form of art, is sort of used to manipulate people? And how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, I think that we're all pretty sophisticated at this point, and we know, I mean, I think if it's sponsored, I think that we all pretty much are familiar with sponsored advertising and that there's a motivation behind that. The problem, and also advertising has a lot of laws behind it. It's much harder to lie in advertising than it is in the news or politics. There is no fake advertising because there are laws. Like when you advertise drugs, for example, medicine, you see it's got a whole page of small type. There are laws. Anything, you know, labeling, there are laws. You go ahead.
Well, like, on the other hand, like, you see, like, commercials, like, Maltesers, and, like, there's, like, a girl who's, like, worried about what some boy thought about her. This is an actual advertisement.
Okay.
But how do you want to sell?
Wait, let me finish. So the advertisement is, like, the girl asks her friends, like, how they would have reacted, and they're, like, just, like, react the same way. And then they claim that the Maltesers, that was sort of a prop in the commercial, was the reason for her to unwind. They're connecting something that is completely unrelated and might be actually harmful to unwinding. Like, I could imagine that binging out on Maltesers might make you feel worse. What you really need are friends.
Well, you know, I mean, what you say makes perfect sense, but you already know that.
I know that, but not the average American necessarily.
I don't know. I think people know that, and I think that you should write them a letter and tell them that. And I think that commercial makes you mad. It's condescending to you. That's what I'm guessing, that you don't like it, and I don't like it either.
I think.
Okay.
How would you sell that? For example, McDonald's. Everything in McDonald's is, oh, buy it. Are good.
Right.
No problem with your health. Okay. But when you want to read about the hamburger, what are you doing in your body, you say, oh, my God. And you know what? I eat all days French fries. I'm hamburger and soda. What did you know?
You don't look like it.
Me. I don't worry about it. Because how the product sells the products is impossible. You need a fake or liars for the business. I think the advertising is this. Liars or...
Well, McDonald's doesn't advertise that it's healthy for you. It does advertise that it tastes good, right?
Exactly, so, but not talking about you.
But it does advertise with healthy people.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is that the government is not... The government doesn't decide what we should and we shouldn't eat. We have to be responsible for ourselves. So
this is my
you
choice.
Need to educate your... I mean, we all need to educate ourselves about food. And, you know, that's our job. That's what... If you care... Not everyone cares about food. What if you go to McDonald's and there's some horribly unhealthy-looking person just stuffing their face with it? They know it's unhealthy.
But
do you think the government should be involved in telling them?
Not necessarily.
No, the problem is the government on the industry. The problem is the people. Do you like it? Okay, the industry say, okay, take it. This is our advertising. Do you want it? Okay, look at that.
Problem is also that people don't know how to use stuff in moderation. And that's a problem in a lot of areas, because if you can't eat in moderation, you can't do anything in moderation. And you can also... I mean, we sell alcohol. There are alcoholics. I mean, I'm not trying to defend advertising or defend overusing products. I'm saying we have personal failings that we need to manage all on our own, and we don't want someone else deciding what's right for us.
Okay, can I do my question?
Yes, well, yes. Please.
I'd like to call upon the people.
Okay, you got to wait.
My question is, do you think the arts in the museums has been a transformation? No? These transformations is something the normal people know understanding. What I mean is, the people go to famous museum here in New York because they have a famous artist, but not because they like the art.
Yeah, that's something that bothers me about the way art... I mean, I think I know what you're getting at, and I think I agree with you. I think that we view art as sort of a cultural... Like good people go to art museums. And I don't think... I think that the art world... I'm a big believer in that the art world needs to make the art really accessible to people and needs to figure... And Eric's shaking his head. I know he agrees as well. And there are a lot of artists that feel this way, but there are a lot of artists who feel that they like it to be so intellectual that you don't quite get it. And I'm getting the feeling that you don't like that either, Manuel.
You know what? I say that because I think I go many times to opera. And yesterday I go to Broadway. I say, Broadway is for dummies. I respect that. The Broadway, the shows, but the people say, oh, it's awesome. Awesome is Mozart. Awesome is Beethoven. These guys would not have electricity, internet, and this and create awesome's works. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome's, you know that, is Van Gogh on these guys.
Right.
I think the Mother Arms many times is very awesome, but the people in the normal people no one understand because they no have time for read it. They no have time for, and you know what? I think the art now is for many people is advertising. You consume, you can know, and you. I think the advertising is a type of art. It's very simple.
Yeah, I mean sometimes I think our advertising does transcend. Advertising, and it is really art. And Mauricio Catalan has a campaign up right now. Did you know he did the The DTF campaign?
Yeah, I mean, I know they've been using a lot of those images from Toilet Paper Magazine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't know.
He's behind that campaign. But
well, he's behind the magazine, but I think he collaborates with a photographer, so I don't know.
Well, you would know because Eric's going to be involved in a show with Mauricio Catalan. Did you guys know that?
They don't even know who Mauricio Catalan is.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
Why don't we rotate again? We'll get Gabriella in here, and maybe one of the first guys would want to come back and ask another question.
Wait, I think why don't we bring Cindy in and just have her
sit
just
here?
Just have her hang out. Maybe I can ask her a question.
Okay.
She doesn't even have to answer. She doesn't.
She can use sign language.
Okay.
That sounds good. So you guys clear out.
Are you good? I know that Akiva had some trick up his sleeve, right?
No, I spoiled it.
You spoiled it?
Okay. I spoiled it.
I was going to come out here with like blood running down my nose.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. Because I don't have any nurses on staff here, so I'm glad you're okay. Okay, thanks for... I want my friend Cindy to sit down. Cindy, come on in. So we have Cindy and Gabriella.
Yeah.
Gabriella, I'm so excited. I wish I was you. You're staying... You're the one... Are you the one staying in an SVA dorm?
Yeah.
I want to stay in the... Can I... You want to stay in my house with my husband? He's a nice guy. There's plenty of room. You know, we've got extra room. You can stay there and I'll go stay in your dorm.
There's a curfew in the dorm.
Yeah, at 10 p.m.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Can you have friends over?
No.
Damn it. Okay, you know what I want to do before we get started, ladies? I have to, and Eric, I have to do a station ID. I have to remind people that they're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, which is such a fabulous radio station. We are actually promoting the Love Honey EP release show at Arlene's Grocery. You guys should all come to that. All like music.
Is that all ages? Can they go?
No. Jesus. Well, you know, Eric, can you have a class on fake IDs?
On making fake IDs? I think I get in trouble for that.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, there are rules. Anyway, it's a Love Honey EP release show at Arlene's Grocery on Tuesday, July 31st, celebrating their anticipated Dig This release at Arlene's Grocery is 95 Stanton Street. And the sound of Love Honey's music was described by Classic Rock magazine as if Jimi Hendrix's experience was fronted by a woman and turned into the Black Keys era. Whoa. This Brooklyn-based act is one you don't want to miss. So anyway, so come out for that, all right? So, all right, ladies. So, okay, I can't. We worked out that I'm not going to be able to stay at the SVA dorm. So that's okay.
You could come for lunch, maybe.
Maybe. Cindy, you live in Queens,
mm-hmm.
and what? Flushing? Did you say?
Yeah.
I've been out there. I have. Have you? You've been out there,
I have,
Eric?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, not Gabriella though.
No, I went there.
You did?
Yeah.
Really? When?
Before I came to SVA, my uncle, like, he wanted me to try this food, so he drove us there.
Wow, what kind of food?
Chinese
food.
Yeah.
Did you know that, Cindy, that Gabrielle had been out to Queens? I mean, Flushing?
Mm-hmm.
You did know that? You guys talked about that at some point?
Yeah, I said the first day, like, I went there.
Oh, so you guys already knew all that.
There's probably a lot of New Yorkers who haven't been to Flushing.
You know who lives out there? Famous art critic Ken Johnson.
Oh, really? In Flushing.
Famous art critic Ken Johnson. Maybe you'll run into him. And he can write up, you know, your show that you're going to have. And so
Gabrielle, did you have a question for Lisa?
I wanted to know, like artists go through a process, like they
emerge, as they say.
So they evolve like during time. And how do you do to stay truthful to yourself, like in every piece or thing you make?
Well, there is no staying. I mean, you can't think that. I don't think that way. I mean, you can only make what you make. So unless you're trying to imitate somebody, you are going to be truthful to yourself.
But what if you want, like, to do something for, like, the audience? Like, to gain more audience?
Yeah, to like, get attention or to make it more, like, you mean, like, the fine line between promoting your work and making your work?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a lot of different ways to promote work. I think that, you know, obviously, like, the thing I did sitting on the toilet was going to get a lot of attention. But I wasn't sure. You don't know. You never know what people are going to respond to and what they aren't. What's really important is, what's really satisfying is the circle of the message. Like, the message that you want to get out there. Like, what the feeling is. Do you want to communicate a feeling? What do you care about? What are you trying to communicate through your work? And then to see how people respond to it. Like, I make text paintings. So over the weekend, I showed some text paintings and people go, oh, that, I feel the same way. Now that's the reward. It isn't because it got a write-up, but that is the reward. Like, that feeling of being connected to that person through the work. Also, as an artist, being true to yourself, I mean, one of the hardest parts, and I think Eric will back me up on this, is that we all go through sometimes long periods, months, sometimes even a year, where you have no idea what to make. You could be like, you could make great work or stuff you're excited about for several years, and then you could get to the point where you think it's over. You have no ideas. You have no motivation. You don't know what's going to happen. Your work isn't very good. You are no good. And Eric, do you? I mean, I look at Eric and I'm like, Eric never has that, but I know he must, right?
Of course, I think we all have those periods. And I think you also, you know, when, like Gabrielle's saying, when you're starting on a new body of work or a new series or a new project, a lot of times you don't really know because you're sort of figuring it out as you're going, and you know, it might turn out great or it might not. And in the moment, I think most artists feel like their most recent work is their best work.
But they hope to. I don't always feel that way. But it's very upsetting.
Right, but there are also definitely moments of self-doubt that we all go through, and times when you're like, oh my God, this is terrible. Like, I haven't made a decent painting in months or whatever. And that's just part of it. You know, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have periods where you feel really creative and really excited about making stuff and just want to be in the studio all the time. And you're going to have other periods where you don't really have that inspiration, or where, you know, you just want to, like, watch a bunch of movies or something like that. But I think that then those things come into your work. You know, you're like, oh, I spent the last 5 months watching movies, and now I want to do a series of paintings about, you know, Stanley Kubrick or something like that.
Ladies, the most important thing in any career is tenacity. I don't care what the hell you're doing. I don't care if you want to be a fishmonger. If you want to be the best fishmonger, you got to have tenacity. So it doesn't really matter. Do you have a fantasy goal about what you want for your work or your life or your job, Gabrielle?
No, I don't really.
No.
Like, I'm not even sure if I want to study something related to art.
Uh huh. That's interesting. Well, yeah. What are your other interests? Music.
No.
Going out. Architecture. Your friends.
Architecture.
Oh, okay. Those are all related.
Yeah,
those are all related.
Like, I don't know. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah. Cindy, have you enjoyed coming into the city? Yes? I think so.
Cindy is perhaps not getting on the mic today, and that's okay. Gabrielle, I wanted to ask you, though. So you are here from Colombia, from Bogota, is that right?
Yeah, Bogota.
And how do you find New York compared to Bogota?
Well, this is not my first time in New York, mm-hmm. so I was, like, familiar to the city, but it's very different, like, the how people are and, like, how they are so open and kind. Yeah.
So you find people really open here?
Yeah, like, people talk to me on the street, like, hey, are you Brazilian? And they ask me things, and in Colombia, like...
People don't talk to you?
No. No, they don't.
And you
talk.
Live in Bogota?
Yeah.
What's Bogota like? Is it urban? Is it pretty urban?
It's pretty urban.
Yeah.
It's the capital of Colombia.
Yeah. So do you see, like, a huge difference between Pagoda and like, are, you know, do you have all the same stores and stuff?
Yeah, the same stores, but like, I don't know, like pharmacies, I find like they have all these things, and like in Colombia, only some of them have.
So, you mean things like snacks and like the medicines that shelves are kind of empty in Colombia?
Beauty products, yeah.
Beauty products. Do you think women in America have a lot more pressure about physical appearance? We have so much pressure here about this crap.
I think the same pressure.
Yeah, same pressure. That's hard. That's hard for young women.
Yeah.
We don't. Yeah. Don't let them get to you. Don't let them repress you.
Manuel was saying that he thought all the sizes were bigger here than in Colombia, like portion sizes in restaurants.
The other day, I went with my friend from Chile and another friend from Colombia to the movies, and we were like, "What? Free refills? How is that even possible?" And we went crazy, and then we were all like full of sodas because.
Oh, right.
Yeah, the sizes at the movie theater are like gigantic. Yeah,
and you can refill it.
And you can refill.
It's disgusting, right?
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Gross.
At first, you're like amazed by it, but then...
So what have you done on your free time in New York?
I've went to several parks, like with my friends from here.
Mm-hmm.
And last weekend, I was with some friends of my parents that have an apartment. So I stayed with them.
Where?
Like...
In New York City?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like 63 with something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Midtown.
So you've been doing some summery things outside.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. So we have 10 minutes left. What do you think? Does anybody want to have another turn on the mic?
Yeah, why don't we bring back a couple of our previous guests.
All right.
Whoever has another question. Only come back if you have a question.
I have to have a question?
Yes.
Go ahead. Come on in. Okay. Let's see what's up. Let's see what's up.
All right. Cindy and Gabriela, you guys make your way out. Akiva's coming in.
Tell the story about the rat.
You can tell the story about the rat, sure.
If that's what you are.
Okay. So we have Akiva and Manuel coming back for an encore performance here.
Cool. All right.
Go ahead and tell us your rat story.
Akiva. All right. You really want to hear the rat story? Because that's like a terrible story. We could actually talk about.
You're not selling it.
Or you could talk about something else.
But we are happy to hear it.
All right. We don't want to talk about anything with substance.
No. Is the rat story have substance?
It has no substance.
Can I say a happy birthday for a friend?
Oh, yes. Definitely.
Yeah,
sure. A shout out.
Yes.
A shout out.
I have a friend that's happy birthday, maybe. Tomorrow or yesterday or today, I'm not sure. Maybe kind of today. Happy birthday, Cindy. Sorry.
Her name is Cindy?
Yeah, not that Cindy. Other Cindy.
No, I know. It's another person, a friend of yours named Cindy who is where?
Live in Florida.
In Florida. Oh, same time zone anyway.
Yeah.
We'll tell her to listen tomorrow morning.
So, Manuel, what part of Florida are you living in?
I live with Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. Imagine this: Fort Lauderdale is New York. Uh-huh. New Jersey is my city.
Oh, okay.
I live there.
So the Fort Lauderdale metropolitan area.
Yeah. But my city is so boring.
I know. I grew up in the suburbs. So boring. Don't worry. You'll get out. Go to college. Go to college in New York. You think you're gonna go to college in New York?
Yeah, I like so much SBA, but I like more Boston. I don't know why.
Maybe Boston. Okay.
You know what? The art in Boston, I think, is more. I don't know, special. But I like so much New York. I think the best big series.
Well, you know, you can transfer once you get there. So anyway, what's the rat story? Let's hear it. Come on.
All right. Like, you don't want to like talk about some art shit or something.
Well, I'm curious. You wanted to talk about, you had a rat story.
I do have a rat story, but that's just.
Do you want to tell us the rat story?
Or would you rather talk about art?
I'd rather talk about something else.
Right. Really?
So how about asking Lisa another question about her art or her life?
I don't have any more questions.
Okay, well, what's on your mind then?
I don't know. I know you were asking a lot of other people about like what kind of art they have. So
yeah, what kind of art they like. That. Yeah, tell us.
So I'd be willing to talk about that.
That would be great. What kind of art do you like? I didn't get to ask you that before.
I do like a lot of kinds of art.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I like art that is sort of related to people and concerning issues, and like sort of also art like music art or regular art that is sort of useful.
Art?
Who are some of your favorite artists or favorite pieces?
I don't pick favorites. That's silly stuff.
Well, I said some of your favorites. So, like, who do you like?
If you could
build an art collection, what would you buy?
I wouldn't buy anything because that would be a waste of money.
Do you make art?
He's a millennial.
Millennial.
Right now.
Do you make art during the year at school?
I go to an art class after school.
Uh-huh. And what do you make there?
I was doing a mixed media class this year. Oh, yeah, and I did do stuff at school.
Like what?
I did silk screening at school.
Oh, that sounds good. Did you like that?
Yeah, it was reasonably fun. And then I did a mixed media class after school, which was like stamp making and collaging.
Oh, wow.
And I did figure drawing with, it's actually drawing other kids from the neighborhood. They aren't naked, but they are,
yeah,
like, not wearing a whole lot of clothes.
No,
to be
that's
fair.
Great. So. Are your parents interested in art?
They're interested in art. They were definitely interested. They did live in New York, and they were definitely interested in like the music scene, sort of.
More music than art.
Yeah, like my mom, I know she like has seen the Ramones and the Violent Femmes and a lot. I'm just like naming artists that I know. She saw the Beastie Boys when they were a hardcore group.
Wow. And your mom sounds cool.
And then they played Cookie Puss on a portable speaker or some sort, because they couldn't actually play songs like that or perform them yet.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the technology, and like Cookie Puss was like sampled phone calls they had made.
Oh, that's cool. So what do you do outside of school? Do you play video? Are you a video game person, or do you go play music? What do you do?
I waste time on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't waste time doing interesting stuff on the internet. I'm really depressedly wasting all of my time on like BS, just watching whatever video or scrolling through Instagram less often. But
yeah.
I am watching some interesting stuff. I am learning about a lot of stuff. But what I should really do is I should like Google this stuff and actually actively learn about it, because I'm probably not going to remember it if I just watch a video once or twice. I watched a video about how you won't remember stuff if you just watched a video.
I'm glad. I mean, man, I couldn't take having another kid around with a video with all this computer stuff. How about you, Manuel? What do you do outside of school?
Maybe I am in a problem about this, but I wanna like study maybe advertising or maybe.
Now, what do you do with your friends? What do you do with your friends?
My friends? I have different friends.
Are they interested in art?
No. They are stupid in this topic. They think Picasso. They think Picasso are Van Gogh, and Van Gogh they are Dali, and me is what? Shut up your mouth.
Okay. Now, this is the problem. When art people like us, we love art, start thinking that other people that don't know about art are stupid, that's how we get in trouble. That's how we wind up with people going to museums because they think they should, and then not understanding or actually enjoying it when they get there. So we have to, we are the ambassadors Wikipedia, of art.
Read it in Wikipedia after 5 minutes or before, there's more easy.
Yeah, but you know what?
Well, definitely.
Akiva's not going to do that. Akiva doesn't want to look it up on Wikipedia. Because, not well, everybody does.
Well, I can know that.
I do want to, but I won't.
Because you're too rebellious.
No, I'm a slave to my habits.
At your age?
Yeah. But
that's really, that's, you know. Oh, shoot. Oh,
does that mean that we're out of time?
No, that means that I forgot to turn my phone off, which is so ridiculous.
How embarrassing.
I know. Right.
In regards to what Manuel was saying, I do sort of think, and like what you were saying also about like people who don't like art being stupid, there is an element of lack of knowledge, definitely. Some people don't have the perspective, or they're assuming different things are made by certain people when they really aren't. And when you go to a museum like MoMA, or something that has like a lot of a mix, or like the Metropolitan Museum, you don't immediately acknowledge or know what era and who made everything. So it becomes a little bit hard to tell. It might be more helpful to go to a smaller gallery.
Okay, great.
All right, so
that makes sense. So I want these two guys to come in,
Charlie and Sophie, for return.
For the last,
thank
you,
Manuel and Akiva.
We have 3 minutes left, so I just want to hear how do you think it went today? How do you think it went today, Charlie? How was the conversation?
I really enjoyed it. It was a fun experience.
Yeah. Did you learn anything about your friends, about your colleagues? Art.
He knew that part, but he learned about you.
He learned about me?
Yeah, I learned about you.
Yeah? How was that?
It was cool.
What's the takeaway about Lisa?
What do you think of me? What do you think of me? Go ahead.
I guess that you're just an interesting and creative person.
There you go. I love it. Yeah. And how about you?
No, definitely. I've met like a lot of artists. Not like a lot, but like I've met artists in my life. But, like, I think you make like really cool content, and it's very unique.
This is great. I love this. I had such a... This is making me feel really good. So I'm going to have to say thanks. Thank you, class. What a lovely class you have, Eric.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for having us on
here. Really, really, really great group. They're really, like, fun and funny and smart. They're everything.
They're a good group of kids. They're going to take our jobs in 10 years.
Yeah.
Eric's a cool teacher.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. I bet. Yeah, you guys are lucky, man. He's an awesome artist. So anyway, I just want to say thanks again for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. This is Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. You can contact me on Facebook, Instagram. I'm at Dr. Lisa Levy SP, that stands for self-proclaimed, since I'm a self-proclaimed psychotherapist. And please stick around, because if you stick around, you're going to get to hear another great show called Lost and Rewound, which is hosted by Ilan Danziger and Jimmy Hoffman. And don't forget about the Love Honey EP release show at Arlene's Grocery on Tuesday, July 31st. I'm going to be there, and I hope you guys show up. And if Eric gets those fake IDs going...
We'll bring the whole class.
We'll have the whole school, maybe. Maybe that's a business, Eric. We could... Yeah, maybe
Can I get a kickback from the club?
I don't know. Maybe.
All those beer sales.
Maybe. Better. We're kidding, folks.
Yeah, parents listening, no.
No, we would never do this. This is like a pretty wholesome group here. All right. Well, thanks a lot. And...